Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Good Shepherd Lutheran Church on this wonderful Sunday morning. It's great to have you all here. I'm Pastor Chris, and if you are visiting with us, I invite you to consider making Good Shepherd your church home here in Columbia. Today we are gathered to give glory to God in our worship, yet with mixed emotions, it's also a time for us to say until later to Pastor Paul and to Catherine and the boys. And today our worship will conclude with a service of farewell and Godspeed that will be conducted by our former Bishop David Donjes. So thank you for joining us today. Following worship today, the congregation is throwing a reception to celebrate the time that the Wallners have spent with us. That reception will be in our fellowship hall, the FAB, at the top of the campus, and everyone is invited to stay for that. So we hope that you will make time for that today to join us up there for this celebration. And one little reminder for us is that next week is our blessing of the backpacks, and so if you are a student or even a teacher or school administrator, we will be blessing you before you begin your school year. And so if you have a backpack or anything like that, please bring it next week because we will have that blessing. We've gathered here today to worship God, so let us now please rise for our confession and forgiveness. We gather in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, our defender, storms rage around and within us and cause us to be afraid. Rescue your people from despair, deliver your sons and daughters from fear, and preserve us in the faith of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen.
A reading from 1 Kings. At Oreb, the Mount of God, Elijah came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. The Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountains before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle, went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant. They have thrown down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." The Lord said to him, "Go. Return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram, and you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and you shall anoint Elijah, son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, as prophet in your place. Whoever escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall kill, and whoever escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elijah shall kill. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, and all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Reading from Romans. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus bade the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side of the Sea of Galilee while he dismissed the crowds. And after he dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus immediately reached out his right hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why do you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." This is the gospel of the Lord. I invite all my young friends forward for a children's message. Calling all kids. You've earned the playground, buddy. Before I get into my sermon, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for all that we've shared in. A lot of special guests, Bishop Donjes and his wife Carolyn. We have Bishop All and his wife here with us. We have other pastors who are using their vacation days to be here, friends from other churches, friends from our communities like Resurrection's Homeless Ministries, and just all the ways that we come together. So thank you for being here. And thank you to those of you who have been here week in, week out, and all the days in between for these last almost 8 years. It is my privilege and my honor, and that's about all I can say right now, but I truly appreciate it. Here we go. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Somebody told me this week, you've started your sermons with stories for years. This one better be your best. No pressure, right? So I thought long about and hard at it as I was pondering the text and as I was thinking about these words that Jesus speaks, familiar words that are spoken more often than any other command in all of Scripture. And it led me back to thinking about the summer of 2012. Now that summer, we were privileged to have with us now seminarian Jonathan Sanchez, who represents us at Yale Divinity School. But back then, he was in thinking mode, discerning mode, and spent the summer with us to learn if being a pastor might be the right thing for him. If that didn't scare him off, nothing will. And one afternoon, we went over to visit B. Brown up at Providence Hospital, fourth floor, corner room, and there she and Mike were sitting together, and we visited for a while, and my phone rang. Now, for those of you who know me, it was quite a surprise that I actually looked at it. Oh, come on, that was supposed to be. And even though I didn't often answer it during hospital visits, when the number appeared and said, Joey Allison, I thought this might be worthy. It was the middle of the day. If they needed me in the office, they'd call me from the office phone. So I excused myself from Mike and B for a second and answered the phone. And Joey, in a speech faster than he usually speaks, says, Pastor Paul, this is Joey at Good Shepherd, and we just need to let you know the church is on fire. Mike saw my backside mighty quickly as I said, I'll see you all later, and we left the room. And Jonathan and I ran down the fourth floor, ran down the stairs. We did walk real fast when we went by the pictures of all the nuns on the wall. And then got out into the crosswalk and just bolted as fast as we could. There was a man and his wife coming in to visit somebody else, and they said, what's the hurry, preacher? And I yelled out without stopping, the church is on fire! That was not what he was expecting. I don't think I ever got out of that tight parking garage as fast as I ever have before, and I'm not sure what color the lights were between here and there. And I kept thinking the whole time I was in the car, and Jonathan was gripping the side of the car wondering what he had gotten into. Those words we hear today. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And I didn't know what to expect. I had seen what our friends had gone through up in Pomeria. And I knew all sorts of things that can happen when you hear those words. When I arrived, I saw half of the Columbia Fire Department here and all the kids from the day school excited to see them. And I came in as far as the chief would let me, and he briefed me and said, minor electrical fire in a downstairs room. There is some smoke damage, and we're going to have some clearing, but the structure and everything is okay. Whew. But I was afraid. I know how fast my heart was beating. I didn't have any idea what was going on. I didn't even give Joey a chance to brief me. I just bolted because I knew something wasn't right. And there are so often moments in our lives where we are genuinely afraid of what has happened or what's about to happen or what might not happen at all. And so this is why more than 70 times in Scripture, more than many other commandments combined, Jesus tells his disciples again and again and again, do not be afraid. Jesus was making things convenient by him having some time of rest and sending his disciples out because they'd been so deluged by so many people who were following them along the journey, who just wanted to be near Jesus and just have that time with him and be healed and hear his word. So After all of that, he sends his disciples out onto a boat and says, go, and I will be there later. But as Jesus is up on the hillside looking out, he sees the storms coming and brewing, and that the disciples are battered, and they are indeed afraid. They have no idea what's going on. That's at night, and it's the next morning, after plenty of time to be afraid, that Jesus comes out to them. And when they see him, they get even more afraid because they think he's a ghost. But he comes to them and says, it is I. Do not be afraid. God knows when we're afraid. God knows when we face stormy times in our lives. And God sends Jesus in ways beyond our imagination to remind us of these words today. Do not be afraid. I've been extremely privileged, honored, all of those words, to be able to proclaim that on behalf of God to you all in some of your most difficult times. In the hospital, in hospice rooms, on your front yards on those horrible days in early October a few years ago. In difficult times here and in your lives and in your relationships, after diagnosis and pain and broken hearts and storms of life, and I have tried to muster up the courage each day to say to you, do not be afraid. Because God is with us. Because when we feel like we're out there in the boat of life being battered around, God is with us, and that never, ever changes. It's not something I just told as a platitude to the children today. It's something that we all hear. And that in those moments where we need God most, God comes to us. Because it's awfully scary to live this life. And it's even scarier to live this life when we want to proclaim out loud that we are children of God, and that matters how we live our lives. But God is with us. Do not be afraid. Now, as much as I've had that privilege of telling you, you've also done that for me. I showed up here at 31 years old. I still didn't have a lot of hair, but you knew that I was young. I didn't have half an idea of what I had gotten myself into. I knew how great a church Good Shepherd was and still is. I knew that it had amazing people and resources to do God's ministry in Forest Acres and beyond. But with every moment, with every cottage gathering, with every time I walked into this place, I saw more and more what God had in store and what was expected of us here at Good Shepherd and what was expected of me. And you all, as partners in ministry from the get-go, told me, we've called you. This is right. Do not be afraid. And a few months later, when Grant was born, that didn't go as we expected. You reminded us, everything's going to be okay. Do not be afraid. And after a third boy and a fourth boy, you still reminded us, you may be outnumbered, but do not be afraid. I'm convinced that as often as I've had the privilege to proclaim to you, do not be afraid, you've done the same for me. And even though now I'm going somewhere else and I'm getting myself into something else, I still know that you remind me to not be afraid. To not be afraid of what God is calling me to do. And for me to say back to you, do not be afraid, for God is calling you to do the same. Friends, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to speak the truth in love when it is hard to speak in our communities, in our nation, and in the world around us. Do not be afraid to proclaim justice. Do not be afraid to live with righteousness. Do not be afraid to walk humbly before God. It's easier to be afraid and hide in a corner. It's easier to expect that somebody else will take care of things, but this is not the time. And in the life of this congregation, which I know is strong, which I'm honored to have walked in this journey to see a church that God is doing so many things in, I remind you to not be afraid here either. Do not be afraid to teach Sunday school. I'm serious. You're welcome. Do not be afraid if you're asked to run for council. Do not be afraid to do something you've never done before. Because now's the time that God is going to call us to do great things. God is going to lead us to that next chapter. And one of the things that I am more certain of than anything else is that in a few months' time, when the call committee has prayerfully and dutifully discerned the next right person to be your senior pastor, that they will see how wonderful a place of God this is and to know what God has in store. And you'll have to remind them too, do not be afraid. Peter, in the midst of all this, in the midst of knowing the Lord better than any other human, still messes up. He still doubts God. He gets out. He's walking. He's moving. He is walking on water. And in the midst of that, still loses trust. Friends, that can happen. That can happen in our worlds. When we lose trust in society around us, when we lose trust in the structures that we know so well, when we lose trust in our ability to put our feet forward or get up in the morning not worried about a health condition. But you know what? God is with you. Do not be afraid. Peter brought Jesus back into the boat so that all those disciples could proclaim, "This is the Lord." So that they could then do what we told the children to do this morning, what is expected of us as well, to know that God is near us and to live that out on our lips and in our hearts in everything we do. And to do that with boldness and to not be afraid. The prayer that Pastor Chris spoke at the beginning of the service today is perfect. This is a stormy world that we live in, one of absolute madness and chaos in every moment of our lives. But God is with us. God will be with us here in this place, in Winston-Salem, where I take my family now, and in all the places that we interact and cross paths in lives for years to come, because it is God who holds and sustains us. It has been my privilege to proclaim to you, do not be afraid. Don't ever forget that. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
without fear, let us declare our faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We offer our prayers, kneeling or seated as we are able.
Generous, compassionate God, we gather before you to pray for the church, the world, and all in need. O God, our ruler, continue to send out your church on earth to be light and salt to the world. Keep giving us the heart to do your work. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O God, our creator, you quiet the seas and silence the wind. Restore your creation to the perfection and beauty you spoke into being. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O God, our Redeemer, inspire leaders with the righteousness that comes from faith, so that your justice thrives throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O God, our Sustainer, comfort those who are lonely, fearful, or burdened by doubt. Give meaningful work to those who seek employment. Walk with those who are grieving or ill, and with all who face the last days of their lives, especially those we name before you now on our lips and in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O God, our encourager, empower this assembly to boldly proclaim and live out your love to all who long to hear a word of hope and kindness. Equip us to use our hands, feet, voices, and minds to share the bounty you have given us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O God, our Savior, we rejoice in the example of the saints who have gone before us until we join them around your throne. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands we place all our prayers, spoken and unspoken, trusting in the mercy of Christ Jesus. Amen.
Please rise. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share with one another a sign of God's peace.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day you shower us with blessings. As you have raised us to new life in Christ, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. declare you, Lord God of heaven and earth. You bring light from darkness, life from death, speech from silence. We praise you for the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, who comes to us in this Holy Supper. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, shed for you and for my people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." In this feast, let us remember the one in whom we have hope, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Eucharist. This is the body of Christ given for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
A reading from Exodus. The Lord said, I'm going to send an angel in front of you to guard you on the way and to bring you to the place that I have prepared.
A reading from Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior.
A reading from John. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.